Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, Easter Bunny to visit Delhi Library. Dateline Delhi, Iowa. The Easter Bunny will visit the Delhi Public Library. The bunny will appear from 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, March 23rd at the library, 311 Franklin Street. Kids will receive a goodie bag during the event. Mac and cheese competition to raise funds for Platteville Dairy Days. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. In true Wisconsin fashion, Platteville area cooks will duke it out next month for the title of cheesy champion. Platteville Dairy Days' first annual Mac and Cheese Fest is set for 5 to 8 p.m. April 11th at the Broski Center in Platteville's Legion Park. Prizes will be awarded for the best dishes in the professional, amateur, and youth categories. The event will serve as the main fundraiser for Platteville Dairy Days, an annual agricultural celebration held in September. In addition to the macaroni and cheese competition, the event will also include music refreshments and several raffles. The April 11th competition also will coincide with the Green Bay Packers 2024 Tailgate Tour's Platteville Stop. Members of the team will be present at the competition and afterward will take part in a community question and answer session. VIP tickets for the event are $75 and come with exclusive visiting time with the Packers. General admission or registration to the competition costs $25 per person, with some sponsorship opportunities available. Those interested in participating can register online at the PlatteVilleDairyDays.com website. Public input session planned for Fenimore Library redesign. Dateline Fenimore, Wisconsin. The final community input session regarding the future of Fenimore's Dwight Parker Public Library is set for Monday, March 25th. The library is hosting its meeting at 6 p.m. at the Memorial Building, 860 Lincoln Avenue, to review and rank design concepts and look at possible budget impacts, according to an online announcement. The public is invited to attend to provide feedback on possible designs and recommend tweaks or changes. The goal of the redesign is to increase the library's physical footprint and to improve accessibility and efficiency. Potential project designs can be viewed ahead of the meeting online at the Fenimore Library website. The current library building at 925 Lincoln Avenue opened to the public in 1924 and was officially listed on the National Register of Historic Places by the Wisconsin State Historical Society in 1983. Police say Dubuque woman arrested after son tests positive for presence of cocaine. Police said a Dubuque woman's 5-year-old child tested positive for cocaine. Shante C. Hightower Birch, 34, of 650 University Avenue, was arrested at 9:18 p.m. Sunday at her residence on a charge of providing false identification and warrants charging failure to appear and two counts of child endangerment. Court documents state that a hair sample was collected from Hightower Birch's son and sent to a laboratory for testing in June 2023 after police found cocaine in the family's apartment. The hair sample tested positive for cocaine, documents state. Partial demolition of deteriorating Dubuque building delayed. Crews were set to begin demolishing a portion of the Dubuque Brewing and Malting Company building at 3000 Jackson Street this week, but that work has been delayed. Alliant Energy was prevented from removing overhead power lines until an electrical contractor completed the relocation of an internal electric service that serves Prairie Farms, according to City Council documents. With that work completed, Alliant has scheduled removal of the power lines for the week of March 25th. No demolition can begin until the power lines are removed, according to Dubuque Housing and Community Development Director Alexis Steger. A large excavator has been positioned on site, but a crane will not be delivered until the overhead power lines are gone. Once begun, demolition is scheduled to last about 3 weeks. Cleanup of the site could take another week. The area set to be demolished includes sections of the building south of its archway entrance on Jackson Street. Dubuque County Fairgrounds fundraiser set for Sunday. An event this week will support improvements at the Dubuque County Fairgrounds. The Dubuque County Fair Association Blue Ribbon Breakfast fundraising event will be held from noon from 8 p.m. to noon Sunday, March 24th at the Fairgrounds, 14569 Old Highway Road. The event includes an appearance by the Easter Bunny, a live auction, and a raffle. Tickets are $12 for adults and $8 for kids ages 5 to 11. Kids 4 and younger eat free. Tickets are available at the fair office or by calling 563-588-1406. Dubuque's public transit to suspend service to stops due to bridge reconstruction. Dubuque's public transit service temporarily will suspend service to 4 bus stops as a result of a bridge reconstruction project. The Jewel will suspend service to the stops because of Iowa Department of Transportation reconstruction of the South Grandview Avenue Bridge, according to a press release. Beginning March 21, Jewel will suspend Orange Line weekday service to stops at South Grandview Avenue and Rockdale Road, Mount Carmel Bluffs, and South Grandview at Murphy Park, as well as Blue Line Saturday service to South Grandview and Rockdale. Riders normally using the South Grandview and Rockdale stop will be directed to use the South Grandview and Southern Avenue stop. Wisconsin DNR continues to warn of high wildfire risk. Wisconsin officials are asking residents statewide to avoid burning this week due to an elevated risk of out-of-control fires. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources predicts elevated fire weather concerns for the early part of the week due to lack of rainfall, low humidity, and breezy conditions. All southwest Iowa counties are listed as being at high fire risk, and the public consequently is advised against all burns to minimize the risk of uncontrolled fires. On windy, dry days, embers from any fire, especially burns and campfires, burn piles and campfires, can escape control easily and cause a wildfire if not properly extinguished, the DNR said. The DNR has already responded to over 80 wildfires in the past week across the state for a total of 244 responses this year. Updated conditions and reported Wisconsin wildfires can be found online at the DNR website. Cassville Car Ferry to launch May 3rd. Daylight, Cassville, Wisconsin. The Cassville Car Ferry is set to launch for the season in early May. The ferry will begin its 2024 operations on May 3rd, according to an online announcement. The Pride of Cassville transports individuals, vehicles, and equipment across the Mississippi River between Cassville and Clayton County, Iowa. The on-demand rides are offered on both a one-way and round-trip basis, with costs varying by vehicle type. The ferry will run each weekday through Memorial Day, river conditions permitting, after which it will run 7 days a week until Labor Day. After Labor Day, the ferry will operate each weekend through the end of October. 5 sunset cruises are planned for the 2024 season at a cost of $15 per person. Those dates are not yet finalized, but will be announced in mid-April. Additional information is available online at the Cassville.org ferry website. Martinis shake-off set March 21 in Dubuque. Martinis and hors d'oeuvres are the focus of a fundraising event this week in Dubuque. The 2024 Have Life Tri-States Martini Shake-Off will be held from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Thursday, March 21 at Steeple Square, according to an online announcement. The event features martinis and food offerings prepared by the staff of local bars and restaurants, featuring Seven Hills Brewing Company, First in Maine, Copper Kettle, The Vault, and more. Tickets are $50 per person and can be purchased online at the TriLightsHaveLife.org website. All proceeds will go towards Have Life, an organization that raises money to support the participation of youth ages 10 to 15 in athletics, music, and the arts. Iowa Senate advances its version of the AEA overhaul. Story by Benjamin Fisher, Benjamin.Fisher at thmedia.com. Dateline Des Moines, Iowa. The Iowa Senate moved its bill to create more restrictions and oversight of the state's area education agencies, and it will allow school districts to contract for services elsewhere after hours of emotional debate Monday. Via the bill as amended on the Senate floor, AEAs would still be allowed to provide special education media services and education services if contracted by the school districts, but would no longer be funded directly by the state. State funds would, if the bill becomes law and is phased in, go to school districts instead. Then districts could decide annually if they wanted the AEA services or whether they wanted to seek a private contractor. The Department of Education also would absorb special education directors, making them state employees rather than the AEAs. AEA director salaries would still be set by boards of directors, not to exceed the 125% of the average salary of district supervisors the AEA serves. During debate, the bill's floor manager, Iowa Senator Lynn Evans, R. Aurelia, said the bill's goal was for the state to get the, quote, most return on investment for what it spends on AEA's current services. Quote, the AEAs need to earn the business of school districts, he said. The people on the ground working for the AEAs do God's work. but they're hampered and hindered by a system that has needed changes for a long time. Evan stressed how much less harsh the Senate bill was than Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds' bill. "We brought back funding for media services and education services," he said when asked for the differences. "Giving the local school boards the ability to make decisions with the money that flows through the districts is something that we heard from the community in our discussion with others." Senate Minority Leader Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque, lambasted the bill as likely harming both AE employees and the children they serve. "My heart hurts for every family in this state who has a child with special needs," she said. "My heart hurts for the unnecessary anxiety that this bill has created and this governor has created. Last year we had what I thought was one of the most cruel sessions, and this year we're going to go after kids with special needs. As a mother of a child with a disability, I have the right to have my heart heard." Yoakum said that Reynolds' initial proposal was based on, quote, "faulty analysis by the out-of-state consultant she hired to draft it, and that Republican bills were an effort to further privatize public education. It was an incomplete analysis based on unproven assumptions," she said. "It has ignored the very uniqueness of Iowa's AEA system. It is abundantly clear that you haven't listened. I have never received so many emails in opposition to legislation pending than I have for this. Rural school districts are the ones who are going to pay the biggest for this. Small districts receive more in services than the dollars they put into the system. But the AEA's economy of scale will be gone." Iowa Senator Kerry Kelker, R. Dyersville, told the Telegraph Herald after the vote that she thought her chamber's bill was an appropriate change, dismissing opponents' rhetoric. "We're having a superintendent run our bill who knows its impacts well," she said. "Putting the fear in Iowans is nothing I will be a part of. It's a 50-year-old program that needs to be updated." The Senate chose to lump its AEA changes in with another Reynolds proposal, increased minimum teacher pay, but the Senate version increased the minimum starting salary from $33,500 to $46,250, lower than the $50,000 Reynolds in the House had proposed. The Senate bill also includes no increase to minimum pay for experienced teachers, which the House bill does. Democrats proposed an amendment to the Senate bill that would gut it, then establish a bipartisan commission to study AEA's performance, but Republicans argued that such a study had been done in 2011. Democrats also accused the Senate of going along with Reynolds' plans to restructure AEA's despite no one else asking for a change. "Does the governor think she can just do things and that you all just fall in line?" asked Iowa Senator Janet Peterson D. Des Moines. "I think it's interesting the timing of this bill. It seems like there was horse trading going on for votes." Last week, Senate Republican leaders had to pull an old version of the bill from their debate calendar when they came up short of enough Republicans to vote for it to pass. The new version passed Monday, 28-22, with six Republicans joining all Democrats in voting against it. Those Republican holdouts included Iowa Senator Mike Klemisch, R. Spillville, whose district, the Keystone AEA, which serves districts in Clayton, Delaware, and Dubuque counties, its headquarters. Other area senators voted along party lines. Iowa Senator Chris Knoyer, R. LeClaire, who serves on the Senate Education Committee, was not available for comment after Monday's vote. The Iowa House and Senate Republicans' bills still would have a lot of compromise necessary for AEA overhaul to reach Reynolds' desk, with Iowa Representative Shannon Lundgren, R. Piazza, telling the TH recently that a Senate proposal that differed significantly was unlikely to have votes in the House. BizBuzz. New Dubuque salon makes downtown debut. Dog groomer opens platform location. Dubuque photography studio in new location. This column is by Grace Nyland, grace.nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from the tri-states. In this edition, we highlight developments in Dubuque and Platteville, Wisconsin. A new salon has opened in downtown Dubuque with a focus on the, quote, art of hair. River City Hair Company recently opened at 1072 Central Avenue, the former location of Bicycle World, which is now located in the historic Millwork District. The five-chair salon is focused on offering cut and color hair services in a relaxed, comfortable environment. "I wanted a space that was artistic, but still kind of simple," said salon owner Kayla Tyson. "I wanted it to be more relaxed so people could feel comfortable coming in as they are and getting the services they need." Tyson of Belma, Wisconsin, has worked as a cosmetologist for almost 20 years, most recently at a studio in Madison, Wisconsin. Last year, she began to look for something closer to home and eventually selected Dubuque for her newest venture. I feel like the city here in Dubuque. I like the feel of the city here in Dubuque, Tyson said. I like the downtown area and its industrial vibe, and I really like that it seems like there's a strong sense of community in the downtown business area. She said she chose the former Bicycle World building on Central because of its downtown location and its proximity to other area businesses. The space has undergone a series of renovations since last fall to match her personal vision, she said. With those renovations now complete, the studio is open for cut and color services and Tyson's plans to add bridal services too once she's built up the salon staff. We're very focused on the art of hair and how to take care of your hair, Tyson said. As much as I love a good spa environment, this is more of a place where you can come for those classic, more foundational services. River City Hair Company is open 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. The salon can be contacted at 608-338-8124 or online at rivercityhairco@.com. Dog grooming business opens in Platteville. A new dog grooming business is open along Platteville's Main Street. Elite Canine Grooming recently opened at 55 West Main Street in the former Elements LLC building. The business offers grooming services by appointment, as well as a walk-in retail area featuring various pet products. We do all kinds of dogs. We just ask that they be vaccinated so it's safe for them to be in an area where other dogs have been, said manager Maya Longnecker. Other than that, we're just excited to get to know people and their pets. The grooming business is an offshoot of Elite Canine Training, a boarding and training facility just outside of Platteville. Longnecker said the decision was made to establish a grooming portion of the business in town for clients' convenience. The store also includes a retail portion with products for dogs and cats, including food, treats, toys, and more. The focus is on high-quality products that might otherwise be difficult to find in the Platteville market, Longnecker said. The supply of high-quality products in this area can be pretty limited, so we wanted to bring in some higher-end products for our customers, she said. It's an easy location to get to because it's right here in town. Elite Canine Grooming is open 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Grooming is by appointment only, but the retail area is available for walk-in shopping. The store can be reached by phone at 608-568-4558. Dubuque Photography Studio makes crosstown move. A well-known Dubuque portrait studio has relocated. Scott Kelly Portraits, formerly S. Kelly Photography, recently opened its new studio at 150 John F. Kennedy Road, Suite 1, after the building from which it previously operated in the historic Millwork District was sold. The new space is equipped with two rooms for indoor portraits, a consultation space and office, as well as a dressing room for clients' hair and makeup. We really aim for quiet luxury, co-owner Scott Kelly said of the new space. Not a lot of people still offer these kinds of elegant, high-quality indoor portraits, and that's something we take pride in. Scott Kelly is a studio sole photographer. Chris Kelly, Scott's wife, handles the business management and client relations. The two have been in business for over 20 years, 18 of which were spent working out of their home. They moved into their Millwork District space roughly 2 years ago before learning the building would be sold. When they again began looking at available commercial space, they were drawn to the JFK building for the second time. 3 years ago, when we were first looking at our first retail location, this was actually our second choice, Scott Kelly said. When we learned it was still available when we started looking again, we decided to go for it. The studio is best known for its indoor and outdoor portrait photography, ranging from senior photos and family portraits to more personal women's beauty and boudoir shots. The goal with each session is to ensure the clients feel comfortable and confident in front of the camera, Chris Kelly said. That is particularly important with women's beauty sessions, she added, which focus on building women's self-confidence. It's great to get to watch people grow, she said. We have clients come in and we'll sit at this table just scared out of their minds during the consultation who, as we will talk it through, really begin to relax and get excited to have their portraits taken. The best way to contact Scott Kelly Portraits is by texting 563-543-0306. There are also Facebook groups for the family's business, for the business's family and senior portraits, as well as a separate group for women's beauty clients. Business tip thoughts. Do you have an interesting story idea or news tip to share about a local business? Ideas can be shared with business reporter Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com or by calling her at 563-588-5647. Protesters in Dubuque call for ceasefire in Gaza. Story by Maya Bond, maya.bond@thmedia.com. A Palestinian flag fluttered softly in the breeze Monday, swaying along with the harmony sung by a crowd gathered on the sidewalk along Dubuque's Main Street. "We grieve together. We grieve together. Stop the occupation," the crowd of about 50 people sang during a demonstration outside the Dubuque office of U.S. Representative Ashley Hinson, R. Iowa. The demonstration was organized in concert with the national movement Christians for a Free Palestine and called for a permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, the release of all hostages, and an end to Israel's military occupation of Gaza. The gathering came as the Israel-Hamas war continues to rage in the Middle East. After an October 7th attack by Israel against Israel by Hamas militants killed over 1,400 and ended with hundreds held hostage, Israel responded with military strikes and a subsequent invasion in Gaza that have killed more than 30,000 Palestinians there. Ready with flags and signs, dozens of people in Dubuque turned out to listen to speakers discuss the need for a permanent ceasefire and share their views with Hinson's staff. Brenna Cusson Anglada, who organized the demonstration, told the crowd they were there to ask Hinson to use her position to demand a ceasefire, the release of those taken captive in the war, and end Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories. At this point, Israel has killed over 30,000 people, displaced hundreds of thousands, and collapsed the health system in Gaza, she said. Those who are still alive in Gaza face dehydration, starvation, and disease. She said in an interview that Christians in the U.S. have a responsibility to demand a ceasefire because the U.S. government is a major supplier of military aid to Israel. "We're really grateful to our Muslim and Jewish brothers and sisters around the country who have really been stepping up for the last 6 months, but Christians, too, often have been silent," she said. Sarah Corkery, a Democrat running to take Hinson's seat in Congress, spoke at the demonstration and said if elected, she would call for an immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages, and humanitarian aid to reach Palestinians. "Israel has a right to defend itself against terrorism, but what we have seen from Israel is far beyond an exercise of that right," she said. Addie Davis, campaign manager for Hinson, said in an email to the Telegraph Herald that Hinson is working to bring American hostages home while Corkery sides with Hamas. "I would support Israel. Sarah's anti-Israel stance and support of Hamas is out of touch with voters," Davis said in the email. In the email to the TH, Hinson said she stands with Israel, that all Israeli hostages should be returned home, and that Hamas militants should be, quote, eradicated. "The only way to save lives and end the violence is to take Hamas out of the equation and finish the job against these evil terrorists," she said. Rami El-Tibi, who grew up in the West Bank and spoke at the event, said that while a conflict cannot be solved overnight, a ceasefire and reports of humanitarian aid can happen quickly. "They're starving to death," he said. "This is a man-made famine that's happening here, and it's sad. We can control it. We can get it fixed tomorrow. That's the sad part. As humans, we should support the ceasefire and get the aid to reach them." Maya Bond, who wrote the story, is a Report for America Core member. Best Fet benefit set for Thursday. Best Fet, a benefit to support the Hospice of Dubuque, will be held from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday, March 21 at the Grand River Center, 500 Bell Street. The event uses votes by the public to determine the best product and service providers in the tri-state area. Winners gather at Best Fest to give away samples of their best products. Hospice of Dubuque is a nonprofit providing patient care and bereavement programs. Tickets are $40 and are available online at hospiceofdubuque.org/bestfest-2024. Registrations open for Platteville Summer Recreation Program. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. Registrations have opened for summer programming administered by Platteville's Parks and Recreation Department. The registrations include swimming lessons according to an online announcement. Visit Platteville.org recreation, email recreation@platteville.org, or call 608-348-9741 for more information. Youth welding course to be held in Manchester. Dateline Manchester, Iowa. 2-day course at a local community college will introduce 6th through 8th grade students to welding. Northeast Iowa Community College Manchester Center will offer the youth welding course from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, March 26th and 28th at 605 North New Street. Attendance at the safety orientation on the first day of class is mandatory. Tuition is $75. Visit nicc.edu/Manchester or call the Manchester Center at 844-642-2338, extension 7700 for more information. Dubuque Rescue Mission Jackson Street Shelter celebrates first anniversary. Story by Maya Bond. Maya Bond at teachmedia.com. What's the location for area residents to pick up free groceries? The brick building on the corner of Jackson and 16th Street now helps fill a need for shelter for Dubuque's homeless population. Dubuque Rescue Mission's Warming and Cooling Shelter, located at 1598 Jackson Street, celebrated 1 year of operations on March 13th, making a year with nearly nonstop usage. The shelter is open each night for up to 20 men to stay. During particularly cold or hot days, it also serves as a heating and cooling center where individuals can go to escape the weather. Rick Mim, who manages Jackson Street Shelter, said this mission has expanded before by adding more beds to the mission's location on Main Street, opening transitional houses, and partnering with Hope House. Each time, though, those expansions seem to fill up immediately. The Jackson Street shelter was no different, Mim said. Nearly every night since it's opened, its 20 beds have been filled. Mim said prior to the shelter's opening, some men were sleeping on the floor of the mission's dining hall. It was very difficult because it's our dining hall, and so we have to get the men up early in the morning to get them to take all their stuff away, get all the tables set back up, because when breakfast is served, 40 people are coming. Then lunch is served, and 80 people are coming. And then for supper, another 80 people are coming, he said. The clear need for more space prompted Mim to pursue options that would once again expand the mission's reach. I had committed myself and our staff and board of directors that I wasn't going to go through another year of having men on the floor, he said. That's when we purchased the former food pantry at 16th and Jackson and converted that building into extra space for the winter months when we were having people on the floor of the dining hall. However, while the goal for the Jackson Street shelter was to keep men off the floors of the dining hall, he said some still ended up there during the cold months when every bed in both locations was taken. Mission Administrator Jeff Lenhart said the additional location helps continue the mission's purpose of providing somewhere for people to stay. We just want to make sure people aren't freezing to death outside. If they're in need of shelter, then that's why we exist, he said. While there are no current plans to expand the Jackson Street shelter, Lenhart said he hopes eventually it can be opened during the day as a drop-in center where organizations can connect with individuals to resources such as food and housing assistance. Over the past year, Lenhart said community support for not only the shelter but individuals staying there has been inspiring. It's just been a great feeling to see the community come together and help those that are the most vulnerable in the community, he said. Mim said over the course of his several decades working with homeless individuals, the number of them who have severe mental health and additional issues has spiked and made it difficult for them to hold a job or secure stable housing. 80% are from the area here, Mim said. It's not like we're importing these people. More people are just struggling. Charles McCain is a captain at the Jackson Street Center. A resident who both lives and works there. He has stayed at the shelter since November and said it's always nice to know he has a bed to come back to. Through the winter, it was very helpful. While the shelter was full during the winter, the bitter cold eased up throughout the past month and made some beds available for others to utilize. Dubuque Mayor Brad Kavanaugh said resident safety is a top priority for the city, and places such as the Mission Shelter provide that for some of the city's most vulnerable populations. It's important to have those safe places for them to stay. Kavanaugh said as the population of homeless individuals continues to rise nationwide, Dubuque is no exception, adding much of the problem comes down to access to affordable housing, which the city continues to make strides in improving. Maya Bond, who wrote the story, is a Report for America Corps member. Assistance filling out Federal Financial College aid form offered at a Maquoketa event. An event will offer no-cost assistance with filling out the free application for federal student aid, FAFSA, in Jackson County. The event will be held from 1 to 6 p.m. Monday, March 25th, in the computer lab at the Clinton Community College Maquoketa Center, 501 West Washington Street. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. David C. Fleur, East Dubuque, Illinois. David C. Dave Fleur, 88 of East Dubuque, Illinois, passed away at 10:53 a.m. on Friday, March 15th at the Mercy One Medical Center in Dubuque following a brief illness. Mass of Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, March 21 at St. Mary's Church in East Dubuque with the Reverend Dennis Vargas officiating. Burial will be in the East Dubuque Cemetery with military honors accorded by the Dubuque Marine Corps League and the Iowa Army National Guard. Family and friends may call from 3 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday at the Miller Funeral Home in East Dubuque, where the parish prayer service will be at 2:30 p.m. and from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Davis, born March 17, 1935, to Joseph and Anna Sent Fleur. He attended East Dubuque High School. He served in the military from 1955 to 1957. He was formerly employed at Caradco Manufacturing and retired from Loras College. On September 13, 1958, he married the love of his life, Bonita Bonnie Larson, at St. Mary's Church in East Dubuque, Illinois. They were married for 65 years. He had many hobbies. He loved fishing, hunting, gardening, trap shooting. He and his boys share many good stories of their big hunting and fishing adventures. He cherished his families. He especially loved big family get-togethers with his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Those left to cherish Dave's memory are his beloved wife, Bonnie, his six children, Joe, Darla, Fleur, Jack, Jackie, Barry, Feigl, Lloyd, Fleur, Jean, Steve, Roby, Mark, Don Wigman, and Jerry, Rhonda, Shilgren, Fleur, nine grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, one great-great-grandchild, and other relatives. He was preceded in death by his parents and other relatives. The family would like to thank Dave's medical team, who took wonderful care of him, Dr. Mark Moore, Dr. Ram Abadran, Dr. James, and Dr. Ringel. In Little Flowers, a Dave Fleur Memorial Fund has been established. Feel free to wear your favorite fishing and hunting apparel at the funeral. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.millerfhed.com. Emil B. Otting, Jr. Emil B. Otting, Jr., 74 of Dubuque, died Sunday, March 17th. Burial will take place at a later date. Bear Funeral Home of Dubuque is assisting the family. Karen Wasson, Dateline Galena, Illinois. Karen Wasson, 85 of Galena, died Monday, March 18th. Arrangements are pending. Fulong Funeral Chapel of Galena is assisting the family. Richard Marburger, Dateline Cibola, Iowa. Richard Marburger, 81 of Cibola, died Friday, March 15, 2024. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th at Law Jones Funeral Home in Savannah, Illinois, and from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Thursday, March 21 at Calvary Lutheran Church in Cibola, where services will follow. Delbert J. Clemmy, Dateline Bellevue, Iowa. Delbert J. Delby Clemmy, 63 of Bellevue, died Saturday, March 16th. The celebration of life will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, March 22 at Preston, Iowa Town Hall. Hockmanmeyer Funeral Home Cremation Service of Bellevue is assisting the family. Ronald Hickson, Dateline Lamont, Iowa. Ronald Ron Hickson, 84 of Lamont, died Thursday, March 14, 2024. Private services will be held at a later date. Tri-State Cremation Center of East Dubuque, Illinois, is assisting the family. Lisa C. Krieg. Lisa C. Krieg, 61 of Dubuque, died Saturday, March 16, 2024. There will be no services. Burial will be in Dubuque Memorial Gardens. Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory of Dubuque is assisting the family. Amy L. Bainbridge, Dateline Galena, Illinois. Amy L. Bainbridge, 52 of Galena, died Friday, March 15th. Services will be at noon Saturday, April 13th at Furlong Funeral Chapel in Galena. Here is a look at area funeral services. Jason D. Bart Bottles, Dubuque, visitation 2 to 4, 5:45 p.m. today. Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road, service 6 p.m. today at the funeral home. Betty Edge, Lancaster, Wisconsin, visitation 9:30 to 11 a.m. Saturday, May 25th, Lancaster United Methodist Church, celebration of life, 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. Joseph R. Urshan, East Dubuque, Illinois. Visitation 11:30 to a.m. to 12:15 p.m. today. Miller Funeral Home, East Dubuque. Mass of Christian Burial, 1 p.m. today, St. Raphael's Cathedral. Joanne C. Garner, Dubuque. Service 10 a.m. Friday, March 22nd, Eaglehoff, Siegert, and Casper Funeral Home, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road. Barbara E. Gratz, Fenimore, Wisconsin. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 21, Larson Funeral Home, Fenimore, and from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Friday, March 22nd, St. Peter Lutheran Church, Fenimore. Service 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Robin G. Grimm, Defigivo, Wisconsin. Celebration of Life, 2 p.m. Saturday, March 23rd, PJ's Pub, Keeler. George L. Hayward, Sebula, Iowa. Visitation 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. today at Law Jones Funeral Home, Preston. Service 10:30 a.m. today at the funeral home. William J. Kirstein, Dubuque. Service 1 p.m. Saturday, March 23rd, Veterans Memorial Plaza, 1795 Admiral Sheehy Drive, followed by a celebration of life at Nancy Slott's, East Dubuque, Illinois. Brittany J. Lansing, New Vienna, Iowa. Visitation 9 to 10 a.m. today, Kramer Funeral Home, Dyersville. Service 10:30 a.m. today, St. Boniface Catholic Church, New Vienna. Vicki M. Myers, Dyersville, Iowa. Visitation 2 to 7 p.m. today and from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th. Kramer Funeral Home, Dyersville. Service 1 p.m. Wednesday. St. Francis Xavier Basilica, Dyersville. Mark A. Menson, Earlville, Iowa. Visitation 2 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th from 9 to 10 a.m. Thursday, March 21. Kramer Funeral Home, Dyersville. Service 10:30 a.m. Thursday, St. Joseph Catholic Church. Lewis J. Powell, Jr., Benton, Wisconsin. Service 9 a.m. to noon Saturday, March 23rd, Leonard Funeral Home Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. C. Patrick Smith, Dubuque. Visitation 3 to 8 p.m. Friday, March 22nd, Rye Funeral Home, Epworth, Iowa. Services 11 a.m. Saturday, March 23rd, St. Patrick's Catholic Church, Epworth. Here's a look at local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Stefan O. Sanders, 26 of 1540 Central Avenue, number 2N, was arrested at 8 a.m. Sunday at his residence on the charge of domestic assault with injury. Joshua G. Hines, 39 of 140 Loris Boulevard, number 6, was arrested at 118 a.m. Sunday in the area of West 15th and Iowa Streets on a charge of possession of methamphetamine. Police say intoxicated driver led officers on a chase that ended on the Julian Dubuque Bridge. Police said an intoxicated driver led officers on a high-speed chase that reached speeds in excess of 98 miles per hour on Dodge Street in Dubuque. Gloria Feggins, 31, of Manchester, Iowa, was arrested on the Julian Dubuque Bridge at 7:46 p.m. Saturday on charges of felony eluding, operating while intoxicated, and possession of marijuana. Court documents state that officers responded to the area of U.S. 20 and Northwest Arterial for a report of a vehicle traveling erratically in the eastbound lanes of U.S. 20. The vehicle was swerving, striking the gravel shoulder and driving at speeds ranging from 40 miles per hour to approximately 100 miles an hour, documents state. An officer located the vehicle in the area of Dodge Street and Cedar Cross Road where it was operating without headlights. The officer attempted to stop the vehicle, but it fled, traveling at speeds in excess of 98 miles per hour in a 45 miles an hour zone. Police stopped the vehicle in the eastbound lane of the bridge. Feggins told police she did not stop because she did not see that police officers were driving behind her, documents state. She had watery eyes, red watery eyes, slurred speech, the odor of an alcoholic beverage on her breath, and was wearing a green plastic shot glass necklace around her neck, documents state. Feggins told police she had been traveling from the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dyersville, Iowa, documents state. Police said traffic was stopped on the bridge while officers arrested Feggins. Dubuque City Council approves rezoning request on Lower Locust. Story by Andy Piper at andy.piper@teachmedia.com. The following notable action was taken by the Dubuque City Council on Monday. Rezoning of number 35 Locust Street. Action, the Dubuque City Council voted 7-0 to rezone 35 Locust Street from C3 General Commercial to C4 Downtown Commercial. Background, Josh Hansen of Restoration and Renovation Services is planning a multi-use commercial and residential building on the property that has been the home of the Bridge Restaurant since 1961. He has proposed a 5-story building with commercial and parking at ground level and 81 residential units in the 4 stories above. The Zoning Advisory Commission recommended by a 4-0 vote in February that the council approve the zoning. What's next? With rezoning approved, the developer can move forward with more detailed planning for the project. Amend Planet Unit Development, AT 4995, Radford Court Action. Council members voted 7-0 to amend the Planet Unit Development at Radford Court to allow a pet grooming business to open. The applicant, Natalie Hazewinkle, opened a pet grooming service, Club Posh Grooming LLC, in 2022 at 709 Robert Avenue. She is looking for a larger space for a business that also includes additional parking. The planned unit development was established in 2002 to allow for mixed-use commercial and light industrial. It was amended in 2004 to allow for the opening of a pizza ranch. The planned unit development was subsequently split into 2 areas to provide for residential development. Hazewinkle said her business would be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. She said her business does not include pet boarding or outdoor dog runs and that all work would take place inside the building. By a 4-0 vote, Zoning Advisory Commission recommended the council approve her request. What's next with an amended plan unit development? Hazewinkle can pursue her moving her business to the Radford Court location. Downtown Rehabilitation Grant Action. Council members voted 7-0 to approve 2 grants related to a facade improvement proposed at 243 West 10th Street for 917 Motorsport LLC, totaling $20,000. The background. Kevin Conlon, the property owner, submitted an application through the Downtown Rehabilitation Loan Program for rehabilitation of the facade. When purchased, the building was in need of stabilization because of a collapsed leaking roof and deteriorating walls. Conlon intends to restore the facade to its 1920s appearance in hopes that the building could accommodate future commercial space. A planning and design grant and a facade renovation grant of $10,000 each were approved through existing funds in the Downtown Rehabilitation Loan Program. Since 2007, the council has awarded grants to 49 projects through the program that is designed to improve the appearance and livability in the downtown area. What's next? The facade improvement project can move forward with a boost from the added funding. Dubuque's public transit to suspend service to stops due to bridge reconstruction. Dubuque's public transit service will temporarily suspend service for bus stops as a result of a bridge reconstruction project. The JUL will suspend service to stops because of an Iowa Department of Transportation reconstruction of the South Grandview Avenue Bridge, according to a press release, beginning March 1. The JUL will suspend Orange Line weekday service stops at South Grandview Avenue, Rockdale Road, Mount Carmel Bluffs, and South Grandview at Murphy Park, as well as Blue Line Saturday service to South Grandview and Rockdale. Riders normally using South Grandview and Rockville stop will be directed to use the South Grandview and Southern Avenue stop. Authorities say a vehicle strikes a house, driver injured in southwest Wisconsin. Schulzburg Township, Wisconsin. Authorities said one person was injured when her vehicle struck a house in southwest Wisconsin. Ruth M. Quinn, 83, of Darlington, sustained minor injuries in the crash, according to Chief Deputy Troy Leffelholtz of the Lafayette County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that Quinn was driving on Lafayette County E at 8:50 a.m. Sunday in Schulzburg Township when she lost control of her vehicle. The vehicle left the roadway and struck a house. Leffelholtz said the house received minor damage to the front porch area and the yard. Local brewer to support UW-Madison's student-athletes. Potosi, Wisconsin, a local brewery will produce a beer to support student-athletes at the University of Wisconsin. Potosi Brewing Company's Varsity Golden Ale will be released as a draft beer in kegs in April and in packages of cans in May, according to an online announcement. The beer will be available throughout the year and will support the Varsity Collective, Wisconsin's name, image, and likeness organization. The organization supports opportunities for Wisconsin-Madison athletes to make money from their personal brand. Visit potosibrewery.com/varsity-beer for more information. Galena Area Riding Center plans Country Easter event. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Shenandoah Riding Center will host an Easter celebration event with family activities next weekend. Country Easter will take place from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, March 30th at Shenandoah Riding Center, 200 North Broad Rec Road in Galena, according to an online announcement. An Easter egg hunt will kick off at 10:30 a.m. with over 1,000 eggs hidden on the property for children to find. In case of inclement weather, the hunt will take place indoors. Other planned activities include wagon rides, crafts, and hot chocolate bar with cookies. The cost to attend is $5 for children age 12 and younger, and free for those age 13 and older. Also, as part of the event, horse owners can bring their horse for a horseback Easter egg hunt, riding on the center's trails to hunt for hidden eggs, eggs between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Prizes will be given for the most eggs found. Cost to participate for the horseback egg hunt is $10 for pre-registered participants, with registration available at ShenandoahRidingCenter.com or for $20 at the door. For more information, call 815-777-9550. Six-session community leadership course offered in Delaware County. Dateline Manchester, Iowa. The community leadership program will begin this month in Delaware County. Leading Communities, a place-based leadership program, is offered in six sessions from Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Delaware County. The program is designed to develop, increase, and sustain local leadership efforts necessary to address community issues. Sessions will be held from 9 a.m. to noon on March 25th, April 8th, and 22nd, May 6th and 13th, and June 30th at Delaware County Community Center, 200 East Acer Street, Manchester. Lancaster to hold spring cleanup event May 11th. Dateline Lancaster, Wisconsin. Lancaster will hold a spring cleanup event May 11th. Items should be placed curbside by 6 a.m. Residents may place 2 cubic yards of material for pickup. Material should be boxed or bagged for pickup. Prohibited items include tires, batteries, liquids, construction and remodeling debris, yard waste, ashes, household appliances, microwaves, TVs, and computers. Call Town & Country Sanitation at 1-800-626-1915 for more information. Galena Kiwanis Club plans annual river run to raise funds for park improvements. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Galena Kiwanis Club is set to host its 5th annual river run to raise money for local park improvements. The Kiwanis River Trail Run will take place on April 20th on the Galena River Trail at Depot Park underneath a US 20 bridge. Proceeds from the event will aid park recreation park improvements. The event will include a 5K and 10K option for 8 different age groups. Registration is $45 per person now through April 18th and $50 on the day of the race. All runners will receive a t-shirt, and runners with podium finishes will receive awards across the various divisions. Using proceeds from the past 4 races, the Galena Kiwanis Club has donated over $40,000 towards various park improvements. This year, the proceeds will go towards funding the addition of accessible playground equipment at Recreation Park for disabled children. Registration information and a complete event schedule can be found online at KiwanisClubofGalena.com. Love That Lasts. Dubuque couple's lost honeymoon makes marriage seem easy for 65 years. Story by Michelle Lennon, michelle.lennon at teachmedia.com. Waterloo, Iowa natives Gary Scoggin and Barb Gibson were students at Waterloo East High School when they first encountered each other. "I was a sophomore and he was a senior," said the now Barb Scoggin, 86. "We're both working on the fall play, Arsenic and Old Lace. He was a stage manager and I was a behind-the-scenes person." Barb said their first meeting was not an auspicious beginning. "I had my arms full of something backstage and I asked him if he would move my chair. Barb said he looked at me kind of weird, but he did move my chair. And after that first meeting held no promise of a romance, Barb and Gary got to know each other more as the production progressed. We saw quite a bit of each other during that time," said Gary, now 87. "By the end of the last performance, they were a couple. We ran around with a bunch of kids," Barb said. "There were a couple of friends of Gary's and their girlfriends. We just had a lot of fun together." Gary graduated from Waterloo East and attended Iowa State Teachers College, now University of Northern Iowa, in Cedar Falls, Iowa, not far from Waterloo. He was a commuter student because the school was close by. When Barb graduated, she got a job as a telephone operator at Northwestern Bell. While attending college, Gary worked for the city of Waterloo. "The couple doesn't remember a formal proposal. I think I said, 'Let's get married,'" Gary said. They were married November 14th, 1958, and celebrated their 65th anniversary last fall. They have 3 children, Chris Swenson, Sherry Neal, and Brian. They also have 6 grandchildren. After their wedding, Gary and Barb had plans for a wonderful Colorado honeymoon. Barb said their first mistake was a mountain honeymoon in November. We decided we wanted to go to Colorado Springs, which is stupid because there's already snow there, she said. Borrowed my dad's brand new Ford. By the time they got to Omaha, Nebraska, lights were blinking on the new Ford's dashboard. Gary pulled into the first gas station they found and put in power steering and brake fluid. But more lights kept coming on, so the couple decided to stop for the night. We got to Hastings, Nebraska. The hotel had one room and it had twin beds. The trip didn't get any better after that. The car left them stranded by the side of the road, only to fire up an hour later when Gary decided to crank the ignition one more time. In Red Cloud, Nebraska, with even more lights blinking, the local gas station owner was closing up on a Saturday night, but offered to take Gary and Barb to the local motel and work on the car on the next morning. The mechanic charged me $2.75, Gary said. In western Kansas, they stopped a small town on a rainy night, but the gas station was closing up. The gas station owner directed them to an out-of-the-way garage where on a Sunday night, they were able to get the car repaired. But Gary and Barb had enough. After a Topeka, Kansas visit with Barb's Aunt Fern, they decided to head home. There was a blizzard coming, Barb said. That's part of the reason we turned around. We're just ahead of it all the way home. After the children were born, Barb left Northwestern Bell to stay at home with the kids. She occasionally worked for her dad, who owned Gibson Specialty Business, a business that sold promotional products and trophies. Gary worked the city Waterloo for several years, heading up the city's survey crews. He left to become safety director at Chamberlain Manufacturing until closed in the mid-1990s. Gary then was named human resources director at Eagle Window in Durham, Dubuque, the job that brought the family to Dubuque. Gary retired from Eagle Window and Door in 2004. Gary and Barb both volunteered for the Girl Scouts of the USA during and after their daughters were scouts. She was a troop leader and then became a trainer. She brought Gary on board as well. We'd travel all over training people to work for the Girl Scouts, Barb said. He and I would do it together. Chris of Duluth, Minnesota remembers thinking how normal her family was while she was growing up until she discovered it wasn't. I took it for granted that nobody else's parents ever fought and that they never blew things out of proportion, she said. Then I would go to my friends' houses and there would be arguments. I remember thinking my parents might be the crazy ones. Did they argue? Probably, but not in front of us. They just knew how to talk with each other. They are members of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Dubuque, where Barb plays bells in the bell choir. Barb is also an avid quilter, and Gary enjoys making connections around the world with his ham radio. They enjoy traveling and have taken trips to Branson, Missouri, to visit family around the U.S. Son Brian makes his home in Brazil with two of their grandchildren, so the Scoggins have made trips to South America. They also visited England, Scotland, and Germany. Chris said her parents have always shared a sense of humor and the ability to communicate with each other. I had a Valentine's Day card one year that went back and forth with for years, she said. It became a joke, but they said it says exactly what they want to say. They've just always been able to talk with each other. Barb said the ability to work through whatever problems might arise is a big key in their marriage. Getting married is a commitment, she said. Chris said her parents have always had respect for each other. The back and forth of caring for each other, being helpful for each other, that's just how it's always been. Now it's carried into their older life together. They share so many things together. As for Gary, he jokes that more than six decades of marriage has been all that difficult. After that honeymoon we had, 65 years was easy after that, he said. Do you know a long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who have been married at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in the series, contact reporter Michelle Lennon at 563-588-5655 or michelle.lennon@teachmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. Police say two Illinois men have been charged in burglary that preceded a Dubuque shooting incident. Police say two Illinois men arrested Friday afternoon were also involved in a February 12th Dubuque incident in which a man was shot. Malik O. Jackson, 21, of Hoffman States, Illinois, and Demarion R. Owens, 20, of Chicago, were both arrested Friday at 3:30 p.m. at Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on charges of first-degree burglary. Court documents state the police responded February 12th to the 1900 block of University Avenue when a resident reported he was missing a handgun and ammunition. Police said security footage from the residence recorded February 12th shows three masked people entering the residence. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.